Okay, we are back, and we are always grateful when Father Paul Kramer gets up early in the morning over there in Ireland and spends some time with us to help us understand how the Catholic Church and its 1.3, 2, whatever it is, billion members are literally being run off the rails into the weeds and reprogrammed, reformatted, and they're basically being disenfranchised from 2,000 years of Catholicism. The church is being literally overhauled and given a new coat of paint and a new mission, a new globalist life statement, so to speak. And it's not anything like the traditional church. I don't know how much more they're hiding it pretty well. It's not making a lot of news. It gets out, but it's not a big topic of discussion. And Father Kramer, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Yes, it's good to be back. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you were saying. This Bergoglian crowd who have taken over the Vatican, of course, this evil goes back much further, long before Bergoglio came into power. But it's things are coming to a head under Bergoglio, since they have fully taken over the Vatican in their possession now, and right. with apparatus they exert control over the church throughout the entire world, and it is what they intend to do is bring about changes in the church. But what they're actually doing is they're creating a new church.
They're not modifying the existing one. They're literally overhauling it. And you're right. And I don't know how many of the rank and file members of the church understand what's even going on yet. I wouldn't even know how to measure that. But they better well wake up.
That's exactly what I've been thinking. That's been on my mind today, especially. Bergoglio himself has said it will be a different church. And right. It's not going to be the same church as before, because the church before was the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church being a divine institution founded by Jesus Christ, the most preeminently Christian institution on earth. And Bergoglio's different church is not Christian at all. It has some cosmetic Christian window dressing.
Uh-huh.
But it is a non-Christian religion. It is a non-Christian organization that is centered now in the Vatican. And people have to be aware of that. You have non-Christian writers who express their admiration of the person of Jesus Christ. That doesn't make them Christian. And you find Bergoglio and his minions mouthing the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed as if they believe in it, but they don't. I recall during the first modernist invasion of the church, this goes back to the late 19th century, and it was foretold in the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Quito, Ecuador. It's been loosely translated into English as Our Lady of Good Success, not exactly capturing the idea Nuestra Señora de Buen Suceso, which is more of the idea of Our Lady of the good outcome. And it's nice to know that God is promising in the end a good outcome. The message of Fatima is the same. In the end, she says, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph." But what happened was during the reign of Pope Leo XIII, as he was getting old, getting feeble, and not quite in control of the Vatican apparatus as he had been in his younger years. And that is when Freemasonry was able to infiltrate and take over some key positions. In the message, Our Lady of Good Success said, the church will give way, the church will yield to a heresy for part of the 19th century and most of the 20th century. Now, for most of the 20th century, this heresy took hold, took root during the reign of Pope Pius X. They were rooted out. So it wasn't for the entire 20th century. It was the late 19th century. And then after the death of Pope Pius X, they began to reemerge and became very powerful at the Second Vatican Council. And finally, they conquered the Vatican under Bergoglio. And if you read the documents, the encyclicals of Pope St. Pius X on the heresy of modernism, he explains it is the synthesis of all heresies. It is such a heresy that they don't believe in God in the proper sense of the term, in the biblical sense of God, who is the supreme being, infinitely perfect and eternal, who created heaven and earth, created by the free act of his divine will. No, they have a completely different idea of God, equating essentially God with nature, and it is that's the idea behind this mentality that the universe is something superhuman and divine. That's where that idea comes from. It comes from ancient paganism. And it is the idea behind the nature worship of the United Nations agenda. And this is the false religion that is being promoted by Bergoglio's Vatican at the present time.
Right.
It is a pagan religion. It is a demonic religion. And
if you want to have a look at how demonic it is, when you open Rents.com, look for the second graphic, the slideshow, our meme show, right under the top graphic. And the first image that comes up is a picture of the fraud Bergoglio wearing a scarf, a rainbow LGBTQ plus scarf. And on his left, our right, is appears to be perhaps an African American with a pink wig on. And then on the left, our left, his right behind him, is another gay caballero with a rainbow scarf. And this is outrageous, what's going on. Just right there. I just sent you the picture. It's in your mailbox, too, if you haven't seen it.
In this recently concluded session of the ongoing Synod on Synodality, they have proposed the abandonment of apostolic tradition. There was a German bishop. I don't remember the bishop's name at the moment, but there was a German bishop who, in his speech, said that we have to abandon apostolic tradition. Well, if we have to do that, we're just simply saying we'd have to shut down Christianity and adopt something else in its place. Was the whole idea of Christianity? Mm-hmm. The whole idea of Christianity is that the faith of the preached by the apostles, the formula of the great Saint Athanasius was that. The message of the church, the mission of the church, is the preaching of the gospel, which is what he said. He termed it as the actual original faith, teaching, and tradition of the Catholic Church, which the Lord bestowed, the apostles proclaimed, and the fathers safeguarded. Now, when a man who was supposedly a Catholic bishop says we have to abandon that, well, basically saying we have to scrap the Catholic Church and invent something new in its place. And this is not only something that Bergoglio is opposed to. In fact, at the conclusion of the session, he came out with this document, as I mentioned before, Ad Promoventum Theologiam, on the promotion on promoting theology, which is going to be a complete revolution in theology. That we have to, he even used the term rethinking thought. So,
rethinking thought. Okay,
that's right. So that goes beyond just rethinking Christianity, rethinking thought, which means to overhaul the entire way people think, making everything in the past obsolete and outmoded, and that according to the modern sciences, we have to entirely overhaul our theology, our doctrine, our way of thinking. And this is simply to invert the ultimate outcome of all this is to invert Christianity into something Luciferian. And that is what Bergoglio is up to.
Well, what he's up to is no good. 1.2 billion people are being impacted. That's quite a coup d'etat to take over an organization that does have as its following over a billion people. That's like taking all of China, 1.2, 1.3 billion. That's a big scoop, big score, major regime change.
And if I can borrow a term from psychology, what we see in the church, unfortunately, is what they call a maladaptive response. Yes. Most Catholics are in a state of denial. They cannot accept the fact that this man, Bergoglio, is a public enemy of God, of Jesus Christ, and of his Catholic Church. He is the enemy of all Christians. Bergoglio represents the opposite, the inversion of Christianity, the suppression of Christianity, the eradication of the faith in Jesus Christ across the face of the earth, which is the project of Freemasonry, to eradicate from the collective memory of the human race all knowledge of Jesus Christ, to say nothing of the faith mm-hmm. in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But all knowledge of him, it is to be entirely twisted and misrepresented, and to turn Jesus Christ into something totally different than what he was and is.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul himself spoke of this mentality back in his day when he spoke of those who preach a different Jesus. Yes,
well,
this is Bergoglio.
Isn't this another example of the Zionist, communist, Bolshevik control methodology? They constantly reinvent and reshape history. Whether it's contemporary history or ancient history, doesn't matter. They're creating the reality in which many people think is a universal. And it's not necessarily so, but they are always modifying and changing the way people think by the data that is introduced into their minds on a mass scale. It's not hard to do. They're masters at it. And now with AI, it becomes even easier. AI will tell them what to do, what frequency to employ, what the best platforms to to use for portraying and presenting this new ideology or ethos. It's all about control, and that they have everything on their side. They have all the assets, all the software, all the digital reality, and it's just kind of like the old expression, shooting fish in a barrel. It's no challenge. Not for them. Same people are running everything here. You got to remember that. It's the same people running the economies, the geopolitics, the religions. You go up high enough, and it all coalesces into one essential PowerPoint. That's my take.
That is exactly, it's very well stated, because that is exactly the situation. And it will come about that one point up at the commanding heights, where one individual has the command responsibility to dismantle right. everything right. that is of God.
Yeah, right.
And scripture has a name for him. It's called Antichrist.
Oh, yeah.
The man of lawlessness.
He's above all laws. Those people, the laws don't pertain to them. It's like these individuals now railing and yelling how they're going to take Israel to the World International Court and charge them with war crimes. And the war crimes are nonstop. That's not even on the table. It's absolutely unceasing. But what do they think they're going to do? The people who run Israel ultimately are the same people controlling the world. The money, the finance, things that we couldn't even talk about on this program. They're too sophisticated. What are they going to do? So Israel gets charged with 10 or 12 war crimes. Goes through this whole theater, bread and circuses process. And they may or may not stand trial for two or three of them. The rest will be dropped for a variety of reasons. And then what's going to be the punishment? Oh, we're going to fine Israel $1 billion per count that they're convicted on. Well, big deal. Well, Israel will just go to Uncle Sam over here and get the billion or two and pay it off. We are the cash cow for the Zionist regime in Israel. Always have been. That war is our war. If we had said no, no money, no more bombs, no more weaponry, there's no war. There's no genocide. This is a U.S.-Israel war on humanity in Gaza. It's our money. There are airplanes. There are bombs, etc. And we are not without culpability on a massive scale here.
But there will be a punishment, because there is a punishment that they cannot escape.
I certainly hope so. And I hear you. I get it. Yep. They've gotten away with a lot of stuff.
That is the positive side of the message, as I mentioned, of Fatima. And In the church, people will point to Fatima and they will say, well, that's just a private revelation. But the most important thing about Fatima is this, as the Cardinal Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI, said in 1984, that what is the secret of Fatima corresponds to what is revealed in sacred scripture. So we're not just talking about something that is private. We're talking about something private that points to the very official public revelation made by God through the prophets and the apostles through Jesus Christ. And that is that, as Jesus Christ himself said, fear not, I have overcome the world. I have conquered the world. And That is identical to the message of Fatima. The message of Fatima points to that, to the kingship of Jesus Christ, the sovereignty of God over his creation.
Right.
And Jesus Christ, our divine Savior, appointed his mother, Mary, to be the one, the means by which Christ will establish his kingdom in the world definitively by defeating the enemies of God and the enemies of all men of goodwill, of all people who seek to do good and who loathe the evil that is taking place from the highest positions of power in the world. God will triumph. And that was the message of Our Lady of Fatima. In the end, she said, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph." The evil will be punished. And Israel and some of the Arab nations, they will destroy each other. They will end up destroying each other.
That's been prophesied by a number of people, and I would expect that. However, we're going to have to wait and see. We have time, and many things can happen very, very quickly to change all of this around. If one American ship were to be hit by one Hezbollah, Russian-made, Yakont's anti-ship missile, that ship could go down, certainly killing a lot of people, even just with an impact. But that's a 2,500-mile-an-hour weapon system, and the Hezbollah has it. If the U.S. is told to go to war, they'll just direct the admiral there to send a couple of destroyers within the zone, the distance zone, the circumference of where these missiles can reach. And it'll be a Gulf of Tonkin situation right in front of you. And we'll be at war right away. So I don't know. There was a book written, Father Kramer, in 2001 called The Cassandra Prophecy. And I had the author on the program. And he did a lot of biblical study. I don't know. I don't know the Bible well enough to be genuinely frank about it. I don't know. But he was a very interesting guest, well-studied, and also projected not only from the Bible, but from the Mayan calendar, where the end of days would be. The Mayan calendar runs out. And he said that in both platforms, the Bible and the Mayan calendar, It points to December 2023. And he said this in 22 years ago on this program. And I don't do prophecies. I don't like predictions because they never happen. But I'm just telling you that was one guess that was very interesting. And he was quite scholarly about it. The Cassandra prophecy, I think it's still around. So, and then he further refined it to 12/24 of 2023, Christmas Eve. And I don't know what to make of that. But this is a fact, and he wasn't a flake. He was a serious researcher for whatever he did. And he did quite a bit to get that book done. I remember that. So do you have any projections on, not the end times necessarily, but an Armageddon kind of a catastrophe? When you mentioned that Arab nations and Israel will perhaps fight each other to extinction?
The prophecies that I have been studying over the decades foretell complete disorder in Europe. There will be an Arab-Islamic invasion of Europe.
There are 25 million already there, so yeah.
As a military operation, not only the advanced forces that are already here in the European Union, but in England, but they will have an invasionary force wage war in on southern Europe and other parts of Europe,
mm-hmm.
And then you will have a Russian invasion of Europe.
From the north or the east, northeast.
Yes. And if I had to predict Christmas Eve 2024, what event most likely, I'm not making a prediction here, but most likely, a statement of probability, most likely that prophecy would refer to that invasion where Russia will invade Europe. That uh-huh. is the most likely date, I think.
Interesting.
I recall a priest by the name of Don Breno Zecchetti. He was a spiritual son of the canonized saint Padre Pio.
Mm-hmm.
The famous Padre Pio, known by so many Catholics.
Yeah, I know the name. I've done programs where whoever was on, we did talk about him quite a bit. Yeah.
Well, Don Breno knew him personally, and in fact, Padre Pio even referred people to go to Don Breno if they're seeking cures. For example, his blessing had curative powers. And Don Breno made the prophecy about the invasion of Europe, and he spoke. He said it would be. He didn't give a year, but he said it would be at Christmas time.
Oh, when would this have been, approximately?
He didn't give a year, but he said this.
When did he say that, Father Kramer? What was it? The genesis of it?
Around 1981 was. He may have said it. He said it more than once. I think 1981, 1980, even before 1980. In the late 70s, okay. early 80s. Late 70s uh-huh. and early 80s, he was talking about these things.
Very interesting.
He died in 1985.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Arab nation involved wouldn't be Iran. They couldn't stage an invasion from that distance. They just don't have the ability. They can't project force like that. Turkey can. Turkey is certainly more than able. They have the world's third or fourth largest army manpower. They have all sorts of weaponry. They could invade southern Europe by simply moving through the Mediterranean. Don't know. That's interesting. Turkey is also, and many people don't know this, a member of NATO. So that's an interesting kind of an interesting conundrum. They're NATO members, and yet they do not approve at all of what's going on. And yet no Arab nation is going to step in and apparently really intervene on behalf of the Palestinian people who are being exterminated in Gaza. And don't believe for a minute the so-called official number of dead in Gaza as being 10 or 11,000. It's probably 2-3 times that. So it's really horrific. And the world is doing nothing. Nothing except demonstrating and pinning editorials and all that. There's an interesting dynamic to the Turkey aspect, which I've mentioned to our listeners here before, and that's that the Pakistani government, a very substantial nuclear power, has offered, allegedly, to send nuclear weapons to Turkey anytime Turkey requests them. Maybe Turkey already has them. If Turkey got nuclear weapons, all of a sudden the playing field is much more level than it was. And Iran, allegedly, also doesn't have nukes, probably could get some from Pakistan as well. Then you have a whole different dynamic at work. That would be interesting.
I recall, long before this Erdogan, who has radicalized the Turkish politics.
Uh-huh.
Long before then, back in the 70s, pre-internet, I was listening to the shortwave radio. One of the it was either German, Austrian or German radio. They were interviewing a Turkish sociologist. So we're talking about the late 70s now. The Turkish, mm-hmm. I think it was 1979, if I remember correctly. A Turkish sociologist explained, he said, we are the most westernized, the most liberal country in all the Islamic world. But when the day comes that if our clerics would proclaim the jihad, we will all, to a man, drop what we are doing and wage jihad. Now, this is a this is a Turkish sociologist speaking back in the 1970s who said this.
Understood. So when the bell rings, they're right there. All right. I think that it's safe to say that they have all been certainly collectively threatened, if not individually, by the Israeli state with nuclear annihilation if they do attempt to intervene and save lives and help. I don't know how these 2.3 million people in Gaza are going to eat. They're out of food. I don't see any plans being talked about to bring food to 2 million people. And I've gotten now video of medical supplies being sent to the big hospital that was just raided by Israeli troops. And I'm told that they made a lot of the staff strip down naked to humiliate themselves or them. And that which they do, that's their game. But there were a whole lot of medical supplies being moved around by Israeli soldiers outside the hospital. But they weren't being taken into the hospital. They were being put into what looked like the back of another armored personnel carrier, one to the other, to be removed from the scene. In other words, the Jewish state stole them, which would be completely in line with what they're kind of known for. And then Egypt sent 2,100 truckloads, tractor-trailer trucks, across the border with aid for Gaza. But those 2,100 trucks never arrived with the aid. And we think what happened was they were detoured to the right after they crossed the border just into Gaza, detoured to the right into Israel, and were swallowed up. They took it all, because they didn't make it to the Palestinian people. There's a lot of lying going on here, nonstop, out of the state of Israel. That's what they do. Deception, constant.
This calls to mind a prophecy that I read back in the 1970s, the prophecy of St. Caesarius of Arles. So we're back in the first millennium. And he spoke of events that would be taking place in future centuries. And the events were fulfilled one after another. Then there was one called the Great Clashing of Arms, which was the First and Second World War.
Right.
And the next prophecy on the list was that Israel will commit such a great crime that it will merit to be destroyed.
Really? And what year was this approximately that he made this prediction?
Oh, that was back in the 600s, I believe.
This is absurd. That's 1,700 plus years ago. Wow. Well, sounds like he might have seen. I think some of these great prophets and mystics are actually remote viewing the future. I think it's an understandable phenomenon. There may be some divine issues certainly to play, but I think that the remote viewing that I'm familiar with is quite effective at remote viewing the future. So it could well be that is exactly what was prophesied, and it may well happen. It certainly, the world now sees Israel in its true colors. The mask of deception, the poor little democracy in the Middle East, is now gone. It's been ripped away. The world sees Israel for what it really is. A monstrous construct of genocide and utterly inhuman behavior, nonstop. And we also know that the number of alleged Israeli dead is probably absurdly expanded and misattributed. the Israeli Air Force helicopter pilots, the attack helicopters that we gave them, the Apaches, are saying now that they couldn't tell who was who on the ground, and they had to make a command decision to just unload. And they unloaded their entire weapons arsenal, flew back, reloaded, came back, and mowed down a bunch more. They were killing Israelis who were at that big outdoor music festival. And they have videos from the helicopters showing them. So the IDF with tanks and other weapons, assault troops, went into any number of homes in one of the kibbutzes there that was supposedly overrun, and they just killed everybody in sight. They killed their own people. So the 1,200 dead Israelis may be less than half that in terms of those that the Hamas fighters killed. And I'm wondering if the Hamas fighters killed very many at all. One is too many. But I don't know anymore because of the information coming out from Israeli Defense Forces personnel, helicopter pilots who did the shooting and killing, witnesses to the tanks that were blowing up entire homes full of Israeli families. It's all a lie. It's a construct that is designed to do one thing, and that's gain Israel sympathy. The headless babies, the oven-baked babies, all lies. The rapes, all lies. All has been retracted by the Israeli government. Lies. First victim of truth is, first victim of war is the truth, or the first victim of truth is war. How's that? It kind of works both ways, doesn't it? Anyhow, so there you go. I don't know. This is a horrible disclosure for the nation state of Israel in terms of what it really is all about. It's certainly not about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness for all. Doesn't work that way.
That prophecy that I was referring to, that Israel commits this terrible crime, I read that in 1975. Now, I was in Rome at the time, and this was long before the internet. It was a hard copy, a print copy in the Italian language, and it had that list of the prophecies of one by one, the prophecies of Saint Caesarius of Arles. And like as I said, after the First and Second World War, the next prophecy was the crime of Israel. Now I look for that on the internet, and I can't find it. That line has been deleted.
Are we surprised? No. The internet is their domain. Remember, they run it.
I read it in a printed hard copy in 1975. It was in the Italian language, and I recall very clearly what that prophecy was.
Yep, I have no doubt. No, they have no problem tweaking history. None.
Yes, and the useful idiots will constantly say, "Oh, that's a spurious prophecy. It's not been critically." Verified to have it's bogus or it's a forgery. They'll go on and on and on like that. But there's one thing they cannot deny. It's being fulfilled.
Yes, it is. Yeah. This thing is not over. All right. It may be over for the Palestinians, but it's not over.
The same thing with the prophecy of St. Francis of Assisi regarding Bergoglio. They will say, oh, St. Francis didn't make that prophecy. That it's only attributed to him. Well, it was a great Franciscan scholar, Luke Wadding, who included that prophecy in his book. And they will object and say, well, it wasn't, we can't find this in the written sources. Well, they seem to forget that there's such a thing as oral traditions that are passed down in the order. Over the centuries, just like in ancient times, there were oral traditions that before the word of Moses was recorded in scripture, it was passed down orally. So the idea that we can't find a written source, therefore we discard it as being fictitious, is nonsense. This is an invention of modern science, of modern university science. It's not. It is something detached from the real world. But the prophecy about the destroyer, Antipope, we see that being fulfilled. As much as they may deny that St. Francis made the prophecy, but the prophecy is being fulfilled. And the same thing with the prophecy of St. Caesarius about Israel is being fulfilled. So they can deny all they like that St. Caesarius ever said that. Mm-hmm. But it is being fulfilled nevertheless, no matter how deep is their denial.
Let them play their games. It doesn't really matter. As the old expression, the truth will out. It will. It always does. It may take time, but it'll get there. So, okay. When you said earlier that it appears that the anti-Pope Bergoglio has succeeded in taking consummate control of the mechanism of the Roman Catholic Church, you want to elaborate on that any? Is there any indication that there are any insiders who might revolt, who might blow the whistle, if that will do much good? Or is it just going to continue along the path it is right now? You are speaking out in a singularly marvelous voice. There are one or two others. Vigano is speaking out, making videos. But other than you and Vigano, who else is out there?
There is a handful of bishops who have spoken out. Archbishop Legnia, he's Polish. He was attached to a diocese in the former Soviet Union. I'm trying to think, Kazakhstan, I believe, if I remember correctly. There's a retired bishop in Texas, Bishop Gracida of El Paso, Texas. He's another one who came out and said that Bergoglio is not a valid pope. There are many bishops who are just afraid of getting the Strickland treatment. Bishop Joseph Strickland was removed for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have Williamson in Australia was just removed by Bergoglio in the last week or so. Bishop Williamson.
Like a sniper picking them off one by one. But what they have to understand is that you can understand what the revolution is by looking at the men he's removing and looking what he puts in their place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because this guy in the Vatican, removal of Cardinal Burke, and in the place of these Catholic cardinals, you're getting men like this Tucho Fernandez, who is beyond being a heretic. He's a pagan disguised as a heretic, and no one in his right mind will call this man a Catholic. And yet that man's in charge of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So the man who's supposed to be in charge of defending the Catholic faith is actually the man who is the right-hand man of the one who is destroying the Catholic faith.
Well, this Bishop Williamson in Australia is quite outspoken in talking about the so-called Holocaust. And I've been a student of that for a long, long time and really went into it very deeply. And I will go with what the International Red Cross said. They had representatives and offices in most of the German labor camps. And their toll, and released in 1947, was that about 235,000 people died in the camps all during the war years, three, 4 years. Most of them died of starvation. typhus and other diseases. All of Germany was being bombed to smithereens. The German people were starving. These camps were vital to the German war effort, the labor camps. So it's a very interesting conundrum. But I do believe the Red Cross, which was there, did release actual factual data, correct data, in 1947, which is not exactly 6 million. It's approximately 235,000. Let's keep it rounded there. And Williamson was very much onto this and believed it as well. And that got him removed as much as anything, I guess.
Well, this could be a different Williamson, though, because the Bishop Richard Williamson, who spoke about the Holocaust and such, he's from England. He couldn't be removed from a diocese. He's already over 80 years old.
Interesting. Well, I've got a recording of the Australian Bishop Williamson. Let's see what he has to say here. It's quite short. Let me see if I can get it set up here. Okay, here it is. All right, let's see what he says.
All the emotions on one side, all the evidence is on the other. How on earth, in a couple of years, do you cremate 6 million corpses? It's not possible. With the number of gas ovens that they had, at the most in Auschwitz or anywhere, the evidence is just absolutely against every time.
All right, well, that's what he has to say. And he's quite right. The Germans kept meticulous records, architectural, designed, everything of all the camps. And the number of crematories in the camps were known. They take energy to run and operate. And with the known number of crematories in the German labor camps, it would take over 75 years to cremate 6 million corpses. 75 years had they worked nonstop around the clock. That's just straight physics talking. So you take that and then you go to the plaque at Auschwitz, which began by saying, I'm paraphrasing, through these gates, 4 million souls passed who were never to walk out again. And then they had to revise it. Through these gates passed 3 million. And then it became 2 million. And now it says, the print I saw, something like approximately 1 million. So what's the difference? 3 million. What's three from six? Three. So you see, this has been quite an operation, the whole thing. But again, I will stand on the Red Cross and its war year, complete compilation of dead and other issues involving the Red Cross and the labor camps. So anyhow, Bishop Williamson in Australia was excised for those comments and similar comments I guess he's made.
Well, the voice I heard of the bishop, that's Bishop Williams, and he's an Englishman.
Is it? Well, this is, yes, supposedly in Australia, so maybe I have the country wrong.
He may have been
the same one.
He may have been in Australia speaking at that time.
Ah, got it.
But he lives in England. I mean, I've visited his house in England. I know he's in England. He's
very
an Englishman. He's an Oxford man.
Very good. Well, that helps. At any rate, it's pretty crazy out there, and it's not going to get better before it gets worse. That's my best take on it right now. And this if the international controllers want a large regional war, they'll get it. If they want a world war, they will cause it. I believe that's the amount of control they have and the power that they can exert. I'm sad to say it, but I just believe they're going to do whatever they want to do. What that is, I don't know. But we'll see.
At the highest level, or out of the situation.
Say that last bit again, please.
At the highest level, the decision was made to, out of this situation in the Middle East, between Israel and Gaza and the Arab countries, it is intended to lead to a third world war.
Well, I think all the game pieces are on the table, that's for sure. We'll see. Remember, there are no winners in a war of that magnitude, for sure. We're all going to lose. Well, Father Kramer, very interesting conversation. Thank you again for being here. It's very helpful. Your guidance to so many people is really appreciated. I almost can hear them cheering sometimes. So we'll keep following this, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Father Paul Kramer from Ireland. It's the weekend. Get out there and do some preparation work if you can. Remember, you still have a little gift of time, not much, but do prepare. All right. Thanks for being here. Talk soon.